particularly the dealings on each one. We also have invited the embassy of Spain. We welcome you, sir. Swedish, I mean Swedish embassy. We attended the workshop last year, wherein they made a presentation of their model on road safety, and we saw that it was. I had a meeting with the ambassador here with us last week, and we discussed they'd be part of this meeting to share with us the experience of students in terms of reducing road accidents, which is a successful model that maybe we can learn from it. The minister has tendered an apology. She will be leaving early because she is part of the Interministerial Committee on Inauguration meeting. So she will be the first one to make a presentation. We also have received an apology from the Deputy Minister of Transport. We have a standing apology from Honorable Ngele, who underwent a knee replacement operation. And we also have an apology from Honorable Doug, who is also not well. We have invited Vanwal, and we welcome the CEO and the delegation and members of the board. We also have agency, we have the chairperson of the board and the CEO. In Sandra also we have the chairperson of the board and the CEO and other staff members. Honorable Minister, I take this opportunity to invite you to share with us what you have.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, Comrade Ruth Gengu, as well as the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. It's interesting to see how members are very serious about their work, despite the challenges that we are faced with out there in terms of making sure that we're busy with the campaign. I would also want to acknowledge the Ambassador and the representatives of the Swedish Embassy who are here today. I'm honored also to be with the chairpersons and CEOs of both Sandral and RTMC, and I'm sure you would have noticed, Chairperson, that we've got the Chairperson Miaka from Sandral as well as Mr. Majabu from RTMC. Chairperson, allow me to take this opportunity to thank the Portfolio Committee for extending an invitation to the Department for a briefing on road safety, and in particular on challenges faced by the National Roads Agency Limited with regard to dealing for the Gauteng Highway Improvement Program, commonly known as GFIP. Please also accept my apology, Chairperson, for having to depart from this meeting early because, as you would have noted in the apology, there is a cabinet commitment that starts at 10. Honourable Members, road safety is a top priority of this government. We all know that on average, we've got about 40 people dying on our roads daily. And last year, just for the festive period, we had about 1,376 fatalities over the festive period. An analysis of the profile of road crashes indicates that the majority of these so-called accidents are due to reckless, irresponsible, disrespectful human conduct. The main causes for road crashes include, but are not limited to, Chairperson, drunk driving, over speeding, reckless overtaking, driver fatigue from long and uninterrupted driving, failure to use seat belts and other restraints, especially for children, unroadworthy vehicles, and unlicensed and illegally licensed drivers. Also notable is the fact that pedestrians account for about 45% of all road fatalities. This reality enjoins all of us to work hard to intervene decisively on road safety and to make this challenge a national concern, eliciting a positive response from each and every South African. A number of interventions have been made to arrest the carnage on our roads. You'd all remember that in October 2013 we convened the National Summit on Road Safety, which resolved to implement a set of key interventions within the framework of the United Nations Decade of Action on Road Safety. We agreed to a number of practical actions or activities based on the five pillars of the Decade of Action campaign. I wish to briefly highlight a few of these matters. On road safety management, a review of the service and employment conditions of law enforcement officers and road safety practitioners will be done and norms and standards adopted. There's plus minus 17,000 law enforcement officers in the country are not sufficient to police our 750,000 kilometers of national road network. And ladies and gentlemen, members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the chairperson, you would have noted that this 17,000 law enforcement officers also have to monitor more than 10 million vehicles on our roads. We'll have a renewed focus on safer roads and mobility, targeting identified and known hazardous routes in all provinces for continuous focus through what we commonly know termed as the 3 E's, being education, engineering, and enforcement. Education and awareness campaigns will be compulsory projects at each province, and partnerships with the Departments of Basic and Higher Education are being pursued in this regard. And I'm sure you would have all noted that color patrols is becoming a daily occurrence, but also in particular, working together with the Department of Basic Education, we're introducing, as part of life orientation, basic road safety, but in particular also understanding of how to manage a vehicle. And that takes me to the second point of dealing with safer vehicles. We introduce technology to monitor driver fatigue and compare to road rest. Regulations for compulsory truck driver rest and on-child restraints are in place already, and we must set minimum standards for vehicle fitness, especially for scholar transport. Chairperson, you would know that, especially in the rural areas, our children are transported with the most unroadworthy vehicles. There are horrific stories being told about how the scholar transport operators actually access the contract to transport our learners. And it is something that, working together with basic education, with regard to scholar transport policy, we are working on. The transport policy is en route to cabinet. The scholar transport policy is en route to cabinet, because we believe it is important that we allow the Department of Basic Education to focus on their core mandate, while transport department will also focus on their part of making sure that from home to the school, the children can be transported in a very safe vehicle. Already, you would hear from RTMC, they have made some spot checks as well as a sting and found some of these vehicles in some shape that you wouldn't want actually to have your child being traveling in. And what surprises me, Jefferson, is that parents actually pay in some instances for these vehicles to transport their children, especially the parents who send their children to the schools in the suburbs and leaving the schools in the townships. And that is one area that we also need to focus on. Furthermore, periodic vehicle testing is to be made compulsory, as this will mitigate fraud and corruption as experienced now. To ensure safer road users, in particular with regard to pedestrians, focus will be on pedestrian infrastructure, such as overhead bridges, sidewalks, and other relevant interventions. We'll also elevate law enforcement function to essential civil status. The Road Accident Fund will continue to work towards being accessible directly to crash victims and will also intensify work with regards to post-crash care. And Chairperson, I'm sure you would have noted the work that they are doing now with regards to going out into the communities with them up on the road to be able to make it possible that the victims of these crashes can actually have direct access to the agency without necessarily going through the intermediaries or the go-betweens in terms of lawyers. Honourable Members, we've also strengthened the internal capacity and broad stability at the Road Traffic Management Corporation, which is the RTMC, to enable the entity to efficiently manage issues related to traffic, including road safety. As we speak, a new board that is chaired by Mr. Zola Majavu, and as well as a new CEO advocate in CV, have been appointed, and the RTMC Shareholders Committee, comprising of the Minister and MECs, who are responsible for transport, is very functional. We have recently approved the multi-year strategic plan and the 2014-15 annual performance plan of the RTMC. These plans will be tabled in this Parliament soon after the fiscal framework is adopted by the Commerce House as required by the Public Finance Management Act. We have also committed and have actively worked to ensure that we rally the widest range of relevant stakeholders to this cause. This includes a renewed focus on organs of civil society who continue to play a meaningful and complementary role to the efforts of government. We'll soon announce the outcomes of our engagement with the religious fraternity, forging a new partnership to elevate this campaign to become a daily concern of each and every South African. Chairperson, as per the resolutions of the summit, I will be announcing members of the Ministerial Road Safety Advisory Council, which will consist of experts in road safety from road safety councils, non-governmental organizations, the taxi and bus associations, as well as experts who would necessarily give us the necessary support to make sure that we can reach our target of 50% reduction of the tonnage by 2020. Furthermore, and in response to the identified challenges in road safety data management and statistics, we have commenced engagement with research bodies in government to explore innovative means of establishing a reliable and credible statistical data bank for road-related incidents. Ladies and gentlemen, you would know that we had a big challenge January this year in announcing the results, in announcing the fatality as well as the number of crashes, because of the fact that we have to rely on the police, and at times there's a lag or a delay between the time we get the information and the time that we have to release it. But we also believe that it is important that South Africans be informed and be given a true picture of how many people actually are injured or die on the roads of South Africa daily, and what are those causes. And we will be working with CSIR as well as SSA to make it possible that we can have reliable and credible stats. Comrade Chairperson, in moving to the South African National Roads Agency and the Housing Freeway Improvement Program, this committee should note that SANRA, in accordance with its founding act, manages about 19,704 kilometers of national protein roads. Out of this, a total of 3,120 kilometers are tolled, representing 1,832 kilometers being SANRA-controlled tolled roads, and 1,288 kilometers are concession toll roads. The remaining 16,584 kilometers of national roads are non-toll roads, representing 84% of total tarred national roads. SANRA is mandated to maintain these roads with funds from the national fiscal and to also raise additional funds through the user pay principle, a key financing principle which is also contained in the National Development Plan. As you know, operations of the e-tolling system in Gauteng commenced on the 3rd of December 2013. Since the 3rd of December 2013, more than 500,000 vehicles were newly registered on e-tolls account, and I would believe that SANRA will give you actual data, but also actual information on what is happening. Honourable Members, Indeed, the Chiefwork has experienced a number of glitches with its billing system. Our people have complained about incidences of incorrect billing, and as a transport minister, I've heard them. I must at the onset apologize to those of our road users in Gauteng and indeed the general public that have been inconvenienced by these challenges. The operational commencement of a system that has an immediate impact on approximately 2.5 million monthly users will unfortunately not happen without initial teething problems. And you would remember that the unfortunate situation of the implementation date coincided with the festive period. Although the toll system in itself is operating correctly, for instance, recording the vehicles passing under a gantry and transmitting the information from the roadside to the transaction clearinghouse, both the Department of Transport and Sunrise is well aware of some areas of challenges. As a caring government, we are working very hard to resolve these challenges and ensure that people who use the Gauteng Freeway Improved Program roads, they receive correct, itemized, and easy-to-understand invoices. We believe that it is important that the invoice be user-friendly. People say we want to pay, but we want to know what are we paying for. So it is important that the billing system be corrected and that consumer education and consumer information be clear. But also one of the biggest challenges is the fact that those who don't have access to emails and internet have been mostly affected. And we believe it is important that we also improve our ability to access those people who are not really onto the electronic systems. Ladies and gentlemen, we are encouraged by the fact that our people, as demonstrated by the increased uptake in e-tax, are willing to contribute to the expansion and maintenance of our world-class road infrastructure. And in the same vein, we are also very aware that they also need to know what they are paying for, like I indicated, and that they are paying for quality products. Ladies and gentlemen, several areas of concern have been identified, and this includes the e-nature data problem. And in fact, we need to really applaud the implementation of the GIFIP for highlighting the serious challenges that we have with the e-nature. And it is one thing that we would be working on, Chairperson. We know the portfolio committee has raised it in the past, but the fact is now that there is an electronic instrument that actually monitors the movement of roads, I mean vehicles on the roads in housing, that has also made us realize the challenges with regard to the e-nature. For example, Mr. Ollis, you can say what you want to say. Many people are actually driving on the road with old addresses, never have gone to change their details. They have contact details. I'm sorry. So, in essence, as the Department of Transport, not transnational interests, we are the first to concede that we need a total overhaul and review of our e-nature system, so that the people of South Africa can be assured that the information that we have is the correct information. But also this system has, Jefferson, given us an indication of the rate at which we have for cloning of number plates, as well as vehicles in South Africa. I'm sure you would all remember the article that was written, and there was TV interviews of the man who was in Durban all the time, and his car, the same model, the same car, the same color, the same number plate, picked up in Johannesburg through the gantry. So as we are, as a department and with SANRA, together with other agencies, we believe that we need to rely also on this system to be able to clean our e-nature. So I just want to say to you that as members of the portfolio committee, we'll work with you to make sure that we do have the correct database. The problem is actually twofold. The users don't update their information on inmates within the prescribed period, and the updated information is not always correctly captured by the authorities. This is not a new problem, and the department already in 2012 advertised regulations to address the issue. The department and its agencies are exploring additional measures to improve the inmates. Customer service providers don't always result in the desired outcome. Namely, that the customer issues are not always satisfactorily resolved in the fifth instance. In this regard, Sunrail and their contractors, which is ETC, are implementing various interventions to improve customer services in order to address customer needs. This includes the escalation of inquiries and complaints to senior personnel and better follow-up and timely feedback to the consumers. Those frontline officers who are in the kiosk in different places throughout housing need to be supported so as to be able to can better serve the consumer of the services, and in particular the cheaper services as we speak. It is also evident when analyzing the customer claims and complaints that there remains a need to further educate road users about the way the system works and the various registration and payment options available. Furthermore, there are various discounts available if payment was not made in the 7-day grace period, which will address many of the current issues that our road users are raising. In this regard, I've directed that Sunrail intensify its efforts to make information available to road users using various communication channels. Comrade Jefferson, my instructions to Sunrail and ETC are clear and unambiguous. They must sort out the billing challenges and sort it out now. I must also add that a positive outcome of the implementation of the system has been the identification that I've indicated of the duplicates, the clones, non-registered, and vehicles without number plates. This represents an opportunity to get vehicles that are operating illegally on our roads. The Department of Transport and Sunrail will continue to determine and address those issues that impact on the road users of the G5 freeway network. In order for the lowest toll tariff to be payable, I urge users to register. And I also urge members of this committee to register. Because as lawmakers, it is their responsibility to make sure that they are the first one to hit the cause. We can collectively move South Africa forward. And I would believe that the work that we are doing with this GFIS is an indication of how we would want to move South Africa forward. Remember the commitments we did at COP15 as well as COP17 right here in South Africa of making sure that through our own transport network systems we can be able to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. So this GFIS makes it possible that people don't stop and start, they move freely through the freeway and make it possible that they don't emit a lot of pollution. So it is one of the instruments that we can be able to use. Thank you very much. And in conclusion, this room is a trim lot.
Thank you very much. As I expect that the minister will be joining an interministerial committee that is missing, I will give an opportunity to members to ask questions that are directed to the minister before we take the presentation. Honorable Ole.
Thank you, Chairperson. The questions of a technical nature I'll ask when the technical team makes their presentation. So I will just ask the questions that are more, that the minister only can answer. Minister, you just explained to us the problem of the road deaths and the figures. Last year, in fact under your predecessor already, I started pointing out that those figures are not correct. We had Mr. Collins and Zwalo who came here and threw the book at me and told me that the Medical Research Council's figures are not right, and he rejects them and he rejects my points and everything. We now have proof that those police figures which you or your predecessor reported on are not right. And I'll tell you what the proof is. Minister Carlisle, when your figures were announced in January, went and pulled his figures for the Western Cape and compare them with the figures that your office announced for the Western Cape. And your figures were lower. Now, the DA would never try to show that it's recorded more deaths than what the department does, because it would make us look bad politically. But the facts are that the Minister of the Western Cape figures for road deaths in the Western Cape were higher than yours were. And the reason for that is simple, because the Western Cape is the only province that goes and draws their figures from the morgues, from the forensic mortuaries, and verifies what the police say. So the police say there were 25, they go to the morgue and they count the dockets in the morgue and the bodies, and they're 27. So clearly the police missed two, or they're still in progress, or something's gone wrong. Will the minister not concede that those police figures are not absolutely accurate, and that we need to get the figures directly from the morgues, from the forensic mortuaries, as they're doing in the Western Cape? Because if the figures are wrong, we don't really know how bad it is. And I submit that the Medical Research Council knows their job. They said there's up to 18 or 19% underreporting in the police stats, and we should examine that. I accept your point that you're now organizing a new body that's going to work with the CSIR and SASSA to improve the data. I accept that. I think that's a step in the right direction. Thank you for that. I think that's great. But we really need to go to the mortuary level, because there is, I mean, I'm sorry to say this about a person who's passed away, but there is either a body or there's not a body. I mean, no disrespect. There really is, and you count the dockets. The second thing is, I noticed that you're now revitalizing the RTMC. Your predecessor voted in the shareholders committee, put up his hand and voted, together with the whole board, to shut down the RTMC. And you said that you can't just shut it down, there's a legal process. You have to deal with laws that were passed by Parliament, Cabinet, as they would say, and so on. But now I notice that you're not carrying on with the shutting down of RTMC. In fact, you're going the other way. You're adding more resources. Can you explain why, after your predecessor voted to shut it down, you are now adding more and more resources to revitalize it, when the board voted unanimously that it can't fulfill the mandate? In other words, you've either got to change the mandate or shut it down. I don't understand why we're now revitalizing it after a unanimous board decision. With regards to the Minister, you know, my predecessor on this committee for 13 years was a gentleman by the name of Honourable Stuart Farrow. And for all those 13 years, he pointed out all of these problems that have now been suddenly discovered by the e-toll billing system. The problem of the cloning of the number plates, the problem of the e-native data where the addresses are wrong and the phone numbers are wrong, the problem of vehicles without number plates. All of those things were pointed out by him. They were then pointed out by me when I took over and succeeded him, to Ministers Boon de Bele, to Minister Ben Martins, in this committee, in letters to the ministers, in letters to the chairperson, in statements we put out to the media. And when GFIB was built and we went for the e-toll system, we pointed out again, it's going to fail. The billing system is going to fail because the e-native database is so corrupt. I remember the Deputy Minister, with Sue Nabele, I've just forgotten his name, sorry, Jeremy Cronin, Minister, Honourable Jeremy Cronin, said up to 60% of the data is wrong. 13 years plus the 3 years I've been on this committee, 16 years, the DA members of this committee have been pointing out that the UNITAS database is incorrect and must be fixed. And for 16 years, the department hasn't done anything. Now, the people in Sunderland are finding that they can't work because of these problems. Why is it, and this is my question, and then I'm finished, I won't go on, I know your time's short, but why does it take 16 years of complaining, pointing out, urging, encouraging, and we get no response from this department to this problem? I'm sure the chairperson has raised this problem as well. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thank you, Minister, for interacting with the committee. I'd like you to address your comments on the road fatalities and what the department is doing under your ministry. I think every single circle and every single political party is united on the fact that we have far too many road deaths, and it's particularly tragic around Easter and Christmas, those particular periods. And it's not a very happy story. In fact, it's very dismal. And with one exception, we don't really appear to be getting on top of the problem. And I wondered, in view of the success of the Safely Home program, which I'm sure you're aware of, implemented by MEC Robin Carlyle in the Western Cape, where there has been for some time now, a 29% decrease in fatalities, quite against the national trend, whether in fact you or your department have taken cognizance of that program, have tried to, in the interest of our common South African nationhood, implement the best practices that have been successful in that program, and whether from a national level we are trying to actually duplicate the success there. Have we actually taken any steps to try and at least reduce nationally the other eight provinces' fatalities by 29%? Is it something which is in the foremost of your planning? Where are we going with that success story in terms of making it a national success story?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, the Minister, to be part of our meeting. Minister, we are promising that all the members of this committee who stay in Gauteng have already registered their Minister,
may I just give a quick response, because the media are here and the minister, sir?
Chairperson, the platform is mine, not for police.
Chairperson, the minister has personally mentioned me. May I just
I am sharing this meeting, and I am the one who gave permission to people to speak. And I have given honor of the minister to the platform. Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, I have one request of two. Can you please improve the scholar transport in our rural area? Or even in the suburb, anywhere in this country, because we are having lots of problems of scholar transport. In the rural areas, Kulafa, roads are not right. Can you please improve this? And then the other one is to improve the Moloto corridor so that we must decrease this accident on the road. Lots of buses that are on the, not on the road, that are killing people. We are happy because there are lots of improving projects in our country. It shows where we're going now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I will now give an opportunity to Honorable Olive to respond to what the minister has said.
Thank you. Minister, you know, you just spread a falsehood here. The law does not require any South African to buy an e-tag. I have not bought an e-tag. Let me explain why. Because ordinary South Africans are affected by this. And ordinary South Africans can choose, according to the act which I helped draft and the chairperson helped draft and the members helped draft, that they don't have to buy an e-tag, that they will be sensible. I want to see if it works. And that's why I'm not buying one yet. I want to see if it works. And I must tell you, I did receive a bill on the 3rd of February, and I did pay the bill on the 3rd of February. I just want to see if the system works. Thank you, Chip.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, but also thank you very much to Honorable Ollis for indicating that he did honor and pay his bill, although he had to pay the extras because he didn't get the tax. But I would advise him to get the tax. Mr. Ollis raises the issues about the process of picking up and making sure that we get the correct information. We did acknowledge that the time lag between when we get the information from the police and the time that we need to release the information, at times there's a very long period. You'd find that at times we don't even have the information over the weekend, like for example from Friday to Monday, and the police can only give you the information on Tuesday. So those are some of the challenges that we have. But we also know, you can talk about the mortuary, but we also say we need to use Home Affairs and make it possible, because for anybody to be buried in South Africa, you must have a death certificate. And the most reliable then information will then come from Home Affairs. The challenge we have as a transport fraternity is the period for waiting. South Africa is actually advising that instead of our festive period every Tuesday announcement, we need to give ourselves more time, because you need to be able to have the correct information. And they actually were actually saying to us, to me personally, that maybe the pressure you put yourself under to give the information is what leads to the incomplete information that is out there. So if you can probably say, for this period, like for example for the festive period, we'll give the information in March, or for the fifth Easter fatalities, will give the information in June. In that way, you would then clean up your system and make sure that you got the right details. But we want also to use that period as a heightened period of making people aware and alert about what is happening. The other challenge is what FMC would report to you on the criteria for collating the information. What do we as National Department of Transport through RTMC record, as opposed to what municipalities as well as provinces record? So these are some of the things that we need to be able to balance. You say that in the Western Cape they move from mock to mock to be able to pick up the information, or they've got a way in which the mocks report into the department. In some of the provinces, it's easy to do that, where you find, say, community safety being part of transport as well as the roads, where it is the same MEC. Like, for example, in the Free State, you do have the ease of information flow from these two entities, because they report into the same ministry. So I think it is important that we also understand the dynamics of the configuration of provinces, make it possible that, and the chairperson has raised it many times to say this, the way in which departments are configured in provinces could also be creating the necessary challenges that we have. But I understand what you're saying, and about 18% under reporting, and I believe, like you said, this is more technical information that the RTMC team would be giving. That has related to revitalizing the RTMC after a court decision to close down. There was no board decision to close down RTMC. There was a structure called the shareholder committee that took that particular decision in March last year. In August, to be exact, the 2nd of August 2013, we took a decision to rescind that decision, which was a formal shareholder committee meeting to rescind the decision. Remember, RTMC is the structure that is mandated to make sure that they deal with issues related to even your enforcement officer training program, your road safety comprehensively is mandated to be one of the areas of focus of RTMC. One thing that was a bit of a challenge for me was you have an agency that is directly supposed to be responsible for the challenge that is facing society, and you now take that agency and fold it up. Those were some of the considerations that we made. And also acknowledge, like I've indicated in my input, that the shareholder committee, which is constituted by the 9 MECs and the minister, was also failing to meet regularly and be able to mandate and give the RTMC the governance responsibilities that that committee was supposed to have oversight over them on. But also remember, there was no board. The shareholder committee was not meeting. There was no board in RTMC. We had an acting CEO for more than 3 years. So that was the challenges. You don't say because this organization is ailing, you don't create the structure supporting this organization, rather close down the institution. For me, that was what also informed us when we went to the shareholder committee and took the decision to rescind that decision of money, to say there would be the need for us to do the correct thing. Establish the board, give the board the necessary delegations, which were not done. And it was important to remember that one of the instruments for giving RTMC its functions is what we call the governance agreement. That governance agreement that must be signed by the minister and the chairperson of the board, that was not in place, also because there was no board. So we needed to get all those things correct. And the MSC, or you call it minister, I thought it was MSC Keller. MSC Keller will tell you, he was part of the meeting of the Senate, as well as part of the process of revitalizing and re-establishing the RTMC as we find it today. And I would want to take this opportunity to take this platform on behalf of the department as well as of government to thank the chairperson, the new chairperson, Mr. Zola Majabu, for agreeing to serve in this challenging environment together with the board that we have in place today. And I would want to say to you that all the MECs without fail, including the Western Cape, actually agreed that for once we are on the right track, including the last meeting that we have where MEC Kalal was actually giving us his farewell speech. So it is important to remember that as a collective in transport, we went together and we don't even look at whether you are DA or you are ANC because we believe we've got responsibility to the people of South Africa. You might be talking about the examples that in any case, we're working as a collective on. The RTMC is supporting provinces. The Department of Transport is supporting provinces on road safety. So we're working together as a collective. There's no competition. It happens here with national that you're talking about, this particular competitive environment that you're talking about. But we've taken the decision to revitalize RTMC, and we believe we're going to deal a blow to road tonnages because of the fact that the RTMC is revitalized and they are responsible for these areas that I've mentioned that the road safety summit actually spoke about. Road management, for us, that is one of the aspects. They are going to be working on the norms and standards for drivers, norms and standards for vehicles, and all those things that are important for us to have a very same thing. The issue related to e-natives, I don't know, the DA is not 16 years, and you're talking about more than 16 years of the DA talking about those things. But okay, that's another story. The e-latest data, I think we agree, and it is important that I indicate to you, one of the key things, and I need to thank the chairperson. The chairperson, after my appointment as minister, had a meeting with me and indicated the area that she believes the portfolio committee has been hammering on that we need to work together on. And the issue with regard to the e-natives and its challenges, including how we manage it in together with the company that is contracted to do it, was one of the concerns. She actually even said to me, this thing gives me nightmares when I think about it. And I want to say to the chairperson, thank you to chairperson because you pointed me into the right direction. And one of the challenges we faced, in fact, just 2 days after my appointment, we were faced with a court case on this contract that we have. One of the things that we're supposed to have long delegated to RTMC is the management of this contract. And that innate system is probably having its challenges because we have not been able to integrate it to other agencies and to other systems that we need to be able to do. And I'm appealing to this committee to give the agencies as well as the department an opportunity. Give us an opportunity, we will get the right system, we will get to clean up this national traffic information system so that it can better serve the people of South Africa, because it is important for us that it serves the interests of the people of South Africa. If it is not going to work, like you say,
We've got people who are driving on our roads who don't even have number plates. We've got the easy access of making number plates in South Africa, which is actually illegal. I mean, wrong for anybody to just go around the corner and go and print a number plate. You could be having a number plate today and tomorrow you've got another one that is not even related to the system that we have in the country. And that is one thing that we need to clean up. And I'm appealing to members of this committee to really work with the department on this part to clean up our system, because that is what will lead us to those safer road users, as well as safer vehicles on our roads. And I'm begging for your support on that. I've already responded to the Western Cape issue, but also to say that it is actually our responsibility, and each province have identified within the 50% UN target, the total a target for each province based on its own figures. So we're looking at and all that, and one of the areas that we will be focusing on is to work together with each and every province to take lessons from them. The one thing that you would remember that we have also introduced and brought back is the breathalyzer to make sure that we can be able to deal with drunken driving, and I believe that is one of the things that we really can be looking into. The scholar transport. I was saying it is, and I'm happy that you raised it. It is an indictment on us, and in particular as women, that today we have the type of, you know, you see that bus in the rural areas, that this one has been sitting somewhere in somebody's backyard, being a chicken a run or something like that, and now when the contract was allocated, it was just cleaned up and put a bag on the road to transport our children. And one of the things that we're working together with the Department of Education on, and as indicated earlier on, that the policy is en route to cabinet. The transport MINMEC has adopted it. We're just waiting for the Council of Education Ministers to adopt it so as to be able to make sure that we can have an agreement between the two departments. You would have also seen the program that Discovery Health has launched together with the Department of Transport in making it possible that the scholar transport operators can be actually motivated and given awards for being the drivers or the scholar transport drivers of the year, and making it possible that particular drivers are trained and they've got a technology that can be fitted into the vehicle that will monitor the speed, the length of time it takes to get to the next point. So all those are part of the initiatives that we're looking into. But we believe that it is important that our children be transported in a very safe a vehicle on safe roads within the 3 E's. Moloto Corridor. I'm sure you would be aware, Comrade, that on the 18th of December, the Political Oversight Committee of the Moloto Road Development Corridor met, and we agreed on the rail option. The rail option is one of the options as part of the package. We believe, well, if you look at the movement of vehicles on the Moloto Road as well as the N1, that road actually takes equal number of vehicles on a day and the number of people on the road. So it means it is overloaded. So we need to really, in terms of our own engineering leg of the three legs, we need to be able to address the road condition. And that is one thing that we're looking into. The rail supported by the well-developed, well-engineered road is one of the instruments, and Chairperson of Sandra might not know about this, but we are addressing a letter to Sandra to be a partner with us with regards to the road development on Moloto. BRASA would be dealing with the rail site. We have also already decided that there's going to be a project management unit that would be established within BRASA to be able to deal with that particular road. We actually feel that it is one of the key priority roads that we need to, or corridors that we need to deal with. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, I must indicate that
question that has been asked by the members in this committee, a question that we have been raising with the department. And you have also attested to the fact that our very first meeting was about the RTMC, because at the ANC study group, we believe that the shareholders meeting took a wrong decision to close RTMC, because we believe that the RTMC has got the responsibility and the role to play, particularly in the management of traffic in this country. We also believe that our cleanups should be firstly brought to an entity of government instead of outsourcing that particular responsibility. And as the ANC study group, we felt that it is the RTMC that needs to take over that responsibility. And we were also worried by the problem of cloning. And as we speak right now, we have asked the ANC researcher to actually do a research for us. They are pointing to us that Malawi has got a better system than South Africa in terms of issuing number two. As soon as that research is completed, we will bring it to the portfolio committee and also to the minister, for the minister to apply her mind on that. thank you for coming, although there is an interministerial committee. We will then release the minister and to honor one.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm not happy with this situation. I'm not happy with this situation, but I understand that there's a cabinet meeting. I mean, I'm not saying cabinet can't meet, but it's too short a time to speak to the minister. I have many other questions which is unfair to attack an entity with, because they act under instructions. So I really think we need a follow-up meeting with the minister to explore some more issues, because I don't want to be unfair. I don't want to blame Mr. Ali. When he can't control the political decision, he has to implement. It's his job to implement. But there are some other political questions. Could we reschedule another meeting with the minister so we can carry on? I don't want to be unfair, but I understand that, you know, I can't tell cabinet when not to meet. But it's unfortunate that we can't have a full committee meeting with the minister. Thank you.
I think we have done our best, because his issue came up in our first meeting when we were looking at our program, and there was a request from the DA to have these issues addressed and have the minister coming to us, and we acceded to that, and we have this meeting today. And I think that we operate as the three arms of the state, and we need to take cognizance of the fact that work has to continue in all the three arms of the state. We will definitely find time to make a follow-up on these issues, because we all believe that they are important issues. The last thing that I wanted to say before the minister leaves is that the African National Congress believes that the statistics from Home Affairs are the most reliable statistics, because you would find that some people would be involved in accidents and stay in hospital for a very long time. And by the time the steps that are released in relation to fatal accidents, that person who is still in hospital would not be added when he or she passes on, because the time is enough. But if we then rely on Home Affairs statistics, that is where a person who is being born in the country gets registered, and a person who dies in the country gets registered. So the view of the African National Congress is that there has to be a close working relationship between RTMC, the Department of Transport, and Home Affairs, in as far as this is concerned.
Yeah.
would add on. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the issues you raised are very important, and I want to commit to you today that we, as a department, actually started engaging with Home Affairs. But the engagement with Home Affairs, Chairperson, even goes beyond just the death. We also believe that it is important that we engage now that Home Affairs has produced the smart card. We need to be talking to the future of the future of the driver's license within that smart card, so that we then have a comprehensive package of information on one card as opposed to having so many cards. So it's part of the engagement that we have with Home Affairs. So I just want to say to you, Chairperson, we would really like to get that support on the number plate, but also that the work that we have discussed and agreed upon, we will take on. And I would want to reassure Mr. Wallis that when the information about this cabinet meeting emerged, I talked to the Chairperson and we agreed even to say, I must come to this particular meeting and be late for the cabinet one. So I've submitted two apologies in this regard. And I just want to beg for your indulgence, Chairperson. When the next meeting is convened, we'll make sure that there's no clash, and if there is a particular challenge, we'll also look for an appropriate time. But I'm prepared to work with the committee up to the stage that the committee would feel satisfied. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Before we continue with the meeting, I would like to raise a concern that affects members. So the technical support that we're seeing. We are constantly inconvenienced in this portfolio committee. And when we raised this issue last week of how our technical staff is actually, I would not want to use the word sabotage in our work, but it could be that. The DA goes out of the meeting and first of the day we were raising whatever issue in a portfolio committee meeting. But the fact of the matter is that the technical staff says the committee. And if then the problem is identified at that level, it then requires us to raise that issue here and now. Today, I did not have the agenda at 9:30. I had to shout in order to get the agenda of this meeting. The second issue, this room, committee room, has not been prepared to a level where it can give us a conducive environment to run a meeting. The same member of the Democratic Alliance who walked out when we were discussing issues of technical support has come to me today to say he would want to be excused from this meeting because he feels that he's sweating. The issue that I'm raising here is that our technical staff must understand that they are not doing us a favor. They are not doing us a favor to prepare all the material resources that are required to run our meetings effectively. We don't understand how possible could we be put in a baking oven and be expected to perform our duties correctly. This committee room is more like a baking oven. There is air conditioner, but it's not working. It is not the responsibility of the politician to prepare a committee room. It is the responsibility of the technical staff and the committee session to ensure that everything is working before we come to the meeting. And I want to raise this issue again with the committee secretary that we are in a room where we cannot perform our duties correctly, and it is your responsibility, committee secretary, to ensure that you take us into a room with all the necessary resources. And I don't know why you are being sabotaged.
Thank you.
Chairperson, obviously all of the staff have a boss, and the boss has a boss, and they report eventually, I would imagine, to the speaker. I don't know if I'm correct, but I assume the speaker is in charge of this institution in terms of facilities and everything that runs here. Could I recommend that you write to the speaker a complaint that several of these committee rooms are dysfunctional because the aircon doesn't work and we cannot meet because of the environment and staff are not preparing the documents. I mean, I think the point is we don't want to get into a large fight with individual staff members in public. I think there are some issues with that. But I think we should complain, and I think we should take this up to our authority. I would urge you to write to the speaker, or if there's a boss of the committee secretaries, that you write to that person formally. We put it in writing, a complaint, we are not happy with these 3, 4, 5 items, because it's a formal complaint then, and it must be dealt with. If we just shout at one staff member in a public forum, it creates all sorts of other problems. I would urge you to write to the boss, write to the speaker, or write to the leadership of the staff in this institution about the facilities that don't work, often the lifts don't work, the air cons don't work, and about the fact that we don't get documents when we're supposed to. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I hear Honourable Ollis is responding to so many other things that I don't think that we were raising here. Last week when we had a meeting, the challenge that we had was not a list, it were documents, and documents that were wrong that were submitted to us. And today, you know, some of us were told we are supposed to be going to room one, and we went to room one, and room one was occupied by other people, and we had to come here. And here we are, and this room isn't conducive, as you can see. I mean, some of us have been searching since we came in here. And I agree that the very same member who just left here is a member who, last week when we raised an issue around documents, was not happy, and he comes from the DA. And again today, the chairperson is raising an issue with the secretary of the committee, and I was expecting that the secretary of the committee is supposed to be given an opportunity to respond, but Honorable Ollis from the DA is responding. I can't understand this, you know. Even before we think of writing to the speaker or any other person with the board of the secretary of the committee, I thought that the secretary of the committee chairperson should be given an opportunity to be able to respond first and not allow somebody else to respond on their behalf. Thank you very much.
Chairperson has raised the issue about the air conditioning with our household staff is responsible for our facilities management. They indicated that there is a problem with air con in this whole building that's affecting all the staff, and they cannot attend to it at this moment. But this rate is really became aware of it early.
I will make a follow-up on this, and I have had a meeting with the manager of the section committee to raise this issue. The point that we are making is that we can't discuss those issues under the table. They also need to be open so that we can know where the problem is and what is causing the problem. If I went to the committee section and the technical staff, knowing that I am bringing more than 20 people under one roof, I would, and the air conditioning is not working, I would organize them. Or I would look for an alternative thing. I would not ask him to pay. The air cons are not working and they cannot be fixed, and then it is okay for me not to go and hold the meeting in that particular environment. And that doesn't mean that speaker. It
me, the committee secretary, that fight about the rights of the members, because the committee secretary doesn't after us and indicate to all other staff members, support staff, that my committee needs this and this and this and this. The issue of the program doesn't mean printing the program and giving us an agenda on time doesn't mean the speaker. It needs a sharp and dedicated committee secretary who is able to perform a majority party on time. Let us move and allow a presentation from the road traffic management.
Honourable members of the portfolio committee. Chair, I think it would be fitting at this point in time that I hand over to the chairperson just to make some opening remarks, then I'll take the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable members of this esteemed committee, our guests from Sweden, members of the department and fellow sister agencies, and most importantly, members of the fourth estate, and all protocol having been observed. Honorable Chair, we are humbled today by the invitation to come to account to the portfolio committee about our operations. It is appropriate that from time to time we need to come and give an account so as to comply with our constitutional imperatives. Chairperson, this invitation could not have come at a better time. It's exactly 6 weeks and 2 days since we took office. Chair, we took office amidst a whole host of confusion, despondence, culture of poor or non-existent work ethic among some quarters of the workforce within the institution, where there was total instability, lack of leadership, lack of governance, and pretty much the institution was at the brink of a total collapse. Within 3 days of our assumption of office, we had just lost 35 traffic law enforcement officers, and there were several resignations that were in the pipeline. We have just emerged from a very intense and rigorous process of engagement and stimulating some sense of purpose, agency, and patriotism within our staff, but most importantly, to understand what it is that we got ourselves as an entity to the levels that we were currently experiencing. Out of all that, and in the short space of time, we managed to prepare our strategic document, which was presented on time, and I understand it was also presented to the members of the shareholder committee. We continue to engage with all stakeholders. We continue to do so to date, and only time will indicate our collective and multidisciplinary efforts. And that multidisciplinary effort, amongst others, includes the police, health, justice, as well as provincial and local government level, as we roll up our sleeves and take our hands from maximum results. We seek to reposition the institution in our endeavor to fight the carnage on our roads, and very mindful that this battle cannot be won by individual efforts. All of us should rally our efforts and be very decisive in our approach. Key areas that we want to focus on amongst others are safer roads, road safety, education, and safer vehicles. We call upon all our citizens to be behind this effort. After all, it starts with each one of us as a road user, either as a driver, a cyclist, or a pedestrian. The presentation by the CEO will be a testimony to our efforts as well as our plans. we regard our role, mandate, and effort as work in progress. Chair, with your permission, we have decided that the CEO should focus on the strategic document, focus on key silent features, and also build up this relevant technical information. And from time to time, we will then chip in and answer as best as we are able to do so to the members of the committee, mindful of the fact that we are literally 6 weeks. That's not an excuse. We hit the ground running. And we have also taken note of some of the comments that were raised by honorable members during the interface with the minister. And we can assure this August House that those points have indeed been taken into account. Without printing the outcome of what the CEO will share with us, some of those very issues have indeed been identified. Particularly the specific reference to the PTV, honorable members who raised the issues have excused themselves from the House, but the issue of statistics was one of the issues that were raised quite sharply in the press interviews at which we, together with the minister, were reviewing the statistics. And it is interesting to know that the very same concerns were raised at that stage, and we took it upon ourselves to find means and ways of remedying those obvious defects that even members of the fourth estate had been raising. But be that as it may, Chair, I think it is opportune now that I hand over to my CEO, and then we'll avail ourselves to give you questions to the satisfaction of the members of the House. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, Chairpersons, even our guests from Sweden, colleagues. Chairperson, I will endeavour to deal and converse certain issues as presented within the table of the presentation, but will therefore ensure that we pay particular attention to the salient and critical issues of the strategic document that seeks to address and begin to deal with the issues that are pertinent to the committee. I will skip the issue that deals with the table of conduct, Chairperson, and get to the issues. Chairperson, it's an undisputed fact that road safety is everybody's business. It cannot only be left in the hands of the few to deal with this serious and mammoth task. But what is our key focus of the RTMC? I take note, Chairperson, that we rose from the grave, and I do believe that the obituary was already written and our souls were about to be laid to rest. However, divine intervention came to the fore. So, arising from the grave, we therefore believe that we, as a country, we need to change the driver behavior. One of the critical and fundamental aspects in our road challenges is the behavior, it's a human behavior, in particular of the drivers. But Chairperson, there's a fundamental aspect that we must deal with, is to educate our nation. Because road safety, we need to ensure that we inculcate the culture of what road safety is. And this is one of the pillars that we want to deal with this matter. But also to deal with the issue of the responsible behavior on our roads. Chairperson, I think the Valentine's Day could not go by without noticing an incident that was very gruesome, arising from the road range where two people drew their guns and one finally ended up being a statistic. So that begins to tell you that we have a serious challenge in terms of the road usage of in our country. But it's important, Chairperson, that we mobilize and rally, as well as coordinate public and private partnership. There are a number of initiatives that have been taken by the private sector. It's important that we begin to synergize our activities. But Chairperson, we have a clarion call and an agreement that we have tied ourselves into, which is, of course, the United Nations Decade of Action. We're still committed to it. We believe that it's possible, it's doable, and surely South Africa, we're going to put our weight in terms of the declaration. Chairperson, at the onset, we undertook to ensure that we reduce and save about 5 million lives come 2020, which is, of course, one of the decades of action. But at the very same time, you cannot just reduce those lives unless you seek some interventions in dealing with what you seek to achieve. The reduction is not just going to be automatic. It will warrant serious work. And Chairperson, you must be upfront in saying that we are under no illusion that this task is a mammoth task, but it calls upon men and women in our country to take the challenge. Chairperson, we deal with the five pillars that we have adopted in terms of our strategic document, road safety management, but these pillars were informed from the legacy that we draw from one of our icons, when he then said, our human compassion binds us, the one to the other, not in pity or patronizingly, but as human beings, we learn how to turn common sufferings into hope for the future. That's what the former President Nelson Mandela once said, and we find ourselves in the same situation. And with these five pillars, we do believe that we're going to turn the corner. The road safety management, safe roads and mobility, safer vehicles, safer road users, and post-crash response. We'll deal with these pillars as we soldier on. But it's important to then do some environmental scan so that the committee is privy to this information that we're dealing with. Chairperson, I will at some point deal with the issue of the statistics, but it's important that we now seek to understand what is playing itself out there. If you look at the number of vehicles that South Africa, which has registered vehicles, you have 10,332,696 vehicles on our roads. These are the vehicles that have been registered. We have tried to categorize them in terms of motorized vehicles and non-motorized vehicles. But at the very same time, to give the analogy as per the province, which province has the highest number of registered vehicles, surely you will then see that Gauteng takes the lead. It will naturally be followed by Western Cape and KZN. We're beginning to lay a foundation so that all of us begin to understand where these fatal crashes take place and what the reason are. But it's also important, Chairperson, to do this analogy in terms of the drivers that are on your road, the valid drivers categories, and begin to integrate it in terms of the gender. We then say, throughout the country, we have about 3,528 of the female drivers on our road in various categories. Whilst on the other hand, we have 6,382 of the males. So if you take these figures, we have about 9,811. Remember, Chair, that registered vehicles are 10 million. You have licensed drivers being 9,802. So it therefore begins to tell you that about 300,000 or 400,000 of vehicles that are on the road are not owned by people with driver's licenses. It's one of the issues that you must also take into account when you deal with this. But also it's important to deal with the road network in our country. We know that Sandrian has just recently acquired some of the road networks, but as the time when we're dealing with this analogy, Sandrian controls 16,070. But Chair, we're saying there's 752,000 of the road network. But what is more important is that the provincial roads takes a larger share, but also the unproclaimed roads are also significant in terms of the equation. So when you deal with the fatalities and the road carnage, we must also take this into account. This is very critical, Chair, when you take the law enforcement that we have in our country. We're saying we have plus or minus 17,000 law enforcers. And when you take the network that we are supposed to monitor, the number is far below. It's just a fraction of the equation. But we also have to deal with the corridors in this country, the most busy corridors in our country. And this dovetails very well with the area where most of these accidents are taking place.
But Chairperson, it's also very interesting to deal with the issue that relates to our borders, where it also plays a role in terms of the road handles. Chair, while the first one admits that the quality of our statistics leaves much to be desired, but what are the realities that we're confronted with? The quality crash data recording at the crash scene leaves much to be desired. Remember, Chair, we want to take this step by step. People that are first to arrive at the scene are mostly the police people. But what subsequently happens when the police registers the death or the mortality? They open one docket, but there are 12 victims. A Kumbi has killed 12 or 15 people, but what do the police do? They only open one case docket, which is correct in terms of their operations. But the distortion of the data starts to kick in at that particular moment. But also the delayed capturing of the road crash data. What occurs within the SAPS scenario, SAPS is still manual. SAPS operate until Friday, 4 o'clock. Saturday, Sunday, there's no operation within the SAPS war room. You have to fetch the data into the system, which they are manual. If you're fortunate, they'll only open the envelope on Monday afternoon or early Tuesday. The data is not also correct. That's from that point. But also the coordination in terms of the data capturing systems. As the 9 provinces, we're using various data capturing. Some of them will use Craftsman, which is 5 provinces that are dealing with, and the various provinces will use a totally different system. Western Cape is also using their own system that is totally different from the other provinces. So you have no alignment of the systems within the country. But also what is important, Chair, is the 30 days period. When I'm involved in an accident and die 30 days later, the statistics have skipped me because I've gone beyond the 30 days period. But what is also interesting, Chairperson, because the source of our data is SAPS. SAPS operates from 2 platforms. It depends on which platform are you downloading the statistics. If you are using another platform, it will give you a total different number, and another platform will also give you a total different number. However, we find solace, because as from the 1st of April, SAPS will be operating on an integrated IT system, which they have developed in-house. But that will not alleviate our problem. We also thought it prudent, Chairperson, that we deal with the road safety statistics for the last 5 years. In 2008, we talked about 13,875. In 2012, we have talked about 12,211. Chair, let's deal with this mess. None of us when we deal with these statistics have ever thought of dealing with the population data. Since this year, the population has grown in leaps and bounds, but we have not factored the issue of the population growth in relation to the statistics that are released. If you look at the population growth, it therefore begins to tell you that we are doing exceptionally well in terms of the data that we have. Yes, Chair, we are not saying we are doing exceptionally well when people are dying out there. We want to come to a level of zero tolerance to the fatalities and the crashes on our road. But this is a factor that we must then deal with as we deal with the statistics. Chairperson, it's also important to look as to the most people that causes us the headaches. If you look at the road user breakdown, it's clearly showing us that the pedestrians are taking the larger share. Out of the total number of 13,954, the pedestrians account for 4,978, followed by the passengers. Now the question would be, how do the passengers affect our statistics? These are the people that die simply because their lives and their destiny is not in their hands. These are the people that find themselves killed in the in the minibuses as well as in the buses. These are the passengers, and it will become more interesting as we break this issue of the passengers. It becomes, the picture becomes more scary.
Can I disturb you?
Yes.
A room with an air conditioner and then a chair. Since in the gold box, it would take us 10 minutes to move out from here. I don't know whether we would want to move or remain here. Even the committee that we have has now taken a tablet because she has a high blood pressure and she's not supposed to be in the room at home. So I am asking for guidance. Would you want to move to the good of senses with the first committee and move 10 minutes to continue here?
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for being late. On the matter that you are raising, if this room is not conducive, I would propose that we go to a suitable room so that it can accommodate our health situation. 10 minutes walk is part of a physical exercise. I suppose going to that end will make us comfortable. Thank you, Chair.
Is there any opposing views?
No.
Can we then move to